So. Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. Eine Minute haben wir noch, gleich geht's los. Ich will mal so ein bisschen Überblick kriegen hier von der Runde. Wer von euch hat schon mal was mit Vulnerability-Scannern gemacht? Ich will jetzt gerade mal so ein bisschen Überblick kriegen über das Publikum. Wer von euch hat schon mal was mit Vulnerability-Scannern gemacht? Ah, cool. Die meisten. Kann ich ja gehen. Was verwendet ihr so? Einfach mal in den Raum werfen. Dependabot hätte ich mit einem Namen reinnehmen sollen. Dankeschön. Ihr werdet sehen, es gibt viel mehr. So, 14:40, fangen wir mal an. Alles thumbs up da oben, okay. Hi. Englisch, Deutsch. Ist es okay, dass wir ihn aufzeichnen, wenn ich ihn auf Englisch mache? Ihr könnt Fragen auf Deutsch stellen. Ich werde das ein paar Leuten auf der Arbeit und ähnlichen Bereichen in die Hand drücken. Und ihr seht, ich arbeite am Hafen von Rotterdam und in der Tat spricht dort nicht jeder Deutsch. And that's why we're doing this in Dutch, in English, and if you feel good. So I, my job is officially that. De facto, I am responsible at the Port of Rotterdam. So like somebody said at some point, a lot of years ago, at some point all companies will be software development companies and something. So we are a software development company and a port. We have in total roughly 200 developers. One of the main problems is that if you run a port, you have to write your software yourself because you can't buy that. Except from us, because after we wrote it, we also offer it partially as service to other ports. So we don't only run this for our port, but also for some other ports. At the Port of Rotterdam, it's one in the main company for everything that is a bit connected to official functionality. And we have two daughter companies that look for a lot of stuff that happens at a port. Thinker and Amazon for ships for low bandwidth, where you can buy stuff that can be brought to your ship. Because in general, delivery companies cannot drive to your ship unless they have a tiny, tad expensive piece of paper that comes with some security things with that. So de facto, no shipment company can deliver to your thing. So we have solutions for this, but also a lot of others. But in general, I'm security advisor at the Port of Rotterdam. I am at the core of Port of Rotterdam, responsible for basically all the teams that write their own software and host that themselves, and partially also for others. And then there is some more software in my area that is open source-ish. That is also basically seen as this. Some of you also might know me from Milliways. That's hacker camps and conferences. You might see that from time to time. I call myself a hacker. I'm a security professional. I like to work with woods. I'm old. And you find me on Mastodon and on Matrix, ideally. If you want to get in contact after this for a discussion over that in Matrix and on Mastodon, I'll likely post something about this, including the slides. Feel free to interact. I gave a talk on 3DIC3 and vulnerability management, which is my absolute current toy that I work out around with the port, and that was very well received. But it turned out a lot of people... Yeah, it's a tool that, for those who don't know, if you have vulnerability scans and you have software development, you very quickly look into open source code-specific tools. Very often that is some open source tool. So you officially have your professional tool running somewhere, but under the hood in the build process or in other parts or on your GitHub repository or so. There's a lot of other tools that are also running that do security scanning. So in case your code is on GitHub, and you have not checked the checkbox for the GitHub vulnerability scans that looks for a lot of stuff in your code already, one checkbox, just read what comes out of there. Vulnerability management tool takes all of those security scanners and kind of tries to feed that into a central tool that you can work with. And most importantly, POs can work with. And managers can see metrics, and don't underestimate that. That might be one of the most important outcomes from this. So, but I realized a lot of people had no or very little idea about vulnerability scanning, were maybe using one tool, maybe two, if the software developers that are strongly with open source and security, sometimes more. But yeah, so I basically decided to submit a talk here, and so here we are. Welcome. This tour talk is, as elaborately said, about the vulnerability scanning and the vulnerability management. So why do you want to do that? Well, the obvious answer is I haven't met anyone that really is in software development that has somewhat of a heart for this, that likes to write shitty code. Also, most of them are lazy. And a lot of the stuff that is coming here, you can easily automate. This is only a scratch on the surface, so we're using vulnerability management that handles like roughly 180 different security tools, right, and can import the results. I'll just give a small overview. But basically, we basically want to find vulnerabilities before somebody else, this famous threat actor, finds them. So you hire pen testers, but that's usually limited. If you're unlucky, they're doing something what the industry calls a black box code, which basically is, here's a website, go and do something, and come back with a report. Or you make a white box pen test where basically here's the code, here's the developers, here's the website, here's an environment for you, play around, here's some users. And you want to find this before potential hackers, or how we call them. So why? We want better code. If it's open source, others might use our code. And because we're security people and we like to make environments more secure. So overview, what exists? This is by far not complete. This is just the general overview. If you go into university courses and look what they are telling about those things, you roughly end up with this. You can have scans basically on the networks and hosts and application, cloud, database, container, source code, and there are several more. You see also that these categories partially overlap. But it's mostly a point also, for example, what's a host? What's a container? We can very quickly start to nitpick over there, but it's basically different tools that you use. This is why this basically used. I have heard Nessus from up here. So you're basically here, right? OpenVAS is a bit alike. It can do a bit more. I think also Nessus has, meanwhile, a large amount of other plugins that you can load into there for that try to cover other areas with different successes. And we have a lot of specialists in there. So my core example, one of my tools was that brought us the biggest joy was SSLtest.sh. That's a script from somebody from Hamburg, where we started to just basically nmap the network, find everything that's TLS, and run SSL tests against it. And that gives you a quality of the TLS connections. Best positive effect, it tells you before certificates expires. So that's one of our main functionality, like this feature alone, with so many cases that some internal certificate has expired and then something isn't working anymore. It's really nice to have that. So furthermore, how can I scan? External, internal, Qualys. Some of you might do something like the SSL scan on your website with the Qualys SSL tester. I'm pretty sure a lot of them, you have no use them. And that is an external view. So basically everything that's exposed to the outside can be seen by this. Everything that is in your internal network cannot. Internal is usually focusing on the internal network. Also authenticated and unauthenticated. Where you have a chance to authenticate, always scan authenticated. Way better results. So I can run a service myself. I can then hire a service like Qualys. They're kind of setting an appliance in your network when you have the in-house system. Or there are several other ones that basically say, put this in your network. It will connect to us and tell us everything about your vulnerabilities. Or you can try to self-host those stuff. And as soon as you have software developers that like open source, you very quickly end up very often on this. There is, in general, enterprise services on the market a lot, like you mentioned that. There is also open source tools, and a lot of tools are both. And we have started with a lot of tools in open source, but at some point went there and said, hi, we have a credit card. Often that gives you some enterprise-specific extra features that are very interesting. So your AD or Entra ID integration is one of your first ones that you're possibly looking into there. But also, I'm at the port. We spend a lot of money on software. I find it useful that also goes for people that make security scanners that are available in a usable open source form. Because if it wouldn't, be keep running in our company that basically wouldn't exist. So I prefer those ones over the ones that are purely enterprisey. And that starts with it's way easier to have a look in those tools without directly having their sales agent like daily on your LinkedIn. Network scanners. Basically two tools, school tools, scanning the network and tools scanning network devices. Totally makes sense. Scanning the network, everybody knows Nmap. Zscan, if you have a large company, is sometimes a bit more helpful. And Shodan is great. There's a service to monitor your external site. If you're in a small company, once a year they have a sale for 5 years lifetime license. If a small company, that's good enough. Follow them on social media for that. And on network, you have specific tools like, for example, for Cisco iOS, there's actually a security scanner that you find on GitHub that is open source. But in general, that is a place where your Qualys actually is rather good, I have to say. This is, at the moment, still hard to replicate with open source tooling. Those scanners exist also for other network hardware. Your mileage may vary. That's something that you will hear me say quite a lot. Host scanners. So host scanners scan a physical server or a VM. That's rather straightforward. That is what you had, or at least that is where your service started usually, that you have a service that scans your virtual machines, your physical servers, because that is something that you already had 5 years ago, and possibly somewhere at that point somebody said, can we do something about security? So maybe you ended up with something like this, partially for historical reasons. They aren't necessarily bad. I find them sometimes a bit too verbose in findings, and they find a lot of stuff that if you have a proper review is either actually more informal. And they also have, at least that's my feeling, a rather high false positive rate, because they have the tendency to in-doubt report. So that's at least my feeling. How's that with you? Like, there were several people that work with that. What's your experience with that? Yeah. Well, usually this is part of this. Again, you work together with this tool, then a vulnerability management tool that solves all of your Jara and so on problems. Also, by the way, both of the first, well, of all three of them actually come with a vulnerability management. That is the problem that it focuses very strongly on their specific tool. It's rather painful to connect other security scanners with that, and you very quickly, like one of the points in the drivers in years, if you implement that, you have a high rate of false positive, and then you're like, can't we do this in any way a bit better? And that's then the situation where you then start to look into other ways of scanning for security. At least for us, that was this way. A lot of companies are moving to this cloud And what that means mostly depends on your definition of cloud. In our company, in the beginning, cloud meant virtual machines compared to physical ones. Meanwhile, our stack is nearly completely, not nearly completely. Everything that's not computers that is connected to a very expensive machine is basically in Azure. Think computers that are connected to radar hosts or something like this. And we, like everybody else who's working in critical infrastructure also at the moment, start to very strongly look into what other alternatives are there, specifically what can be hosted in Europe without the US Cloud Act. But definitely, basically, we have a cloud environment, and for most people that means something Kubernetes with something Docker container, then some databases, Redis, and some other modules that you have used. Your integration into your American large-scale platform might vary. The deeper you are in there, the deeper it is, the most difficult it is to scan out. So stuff that I come up, or I would, what we're using is Kube Audit, or actually have been using TerraScan, because if you work in cloud environments, you usually work with Terraform. So that also helps you to find issues there. And if you have a very Azure-specific stack, then I would even say that the Microsoft Defender for Cloud is not as good as for endpoint. But if all of your infrastructure is Microsoft, they're not that horrible. As soon as that's not your point anymore, they become horrible. Kube Audit is not anymore. So today I would look for KubeBench, and Trivi has meanwhile some scanning for Kube things. Yeah. Do you have any? If anyone has other recommendations for the different categories that you want to throw in, please throw them in. Okay. Is that an open source tool? It's about Sysdig. Ah, that's what you mean, yeah. So professional, there's Sysdig, and you had DevGuard as tools there. There's more, we're experimenting a bit around at the moment, but QOrbit was relatively nice for this already. Ah, okay. Does this export the reports in any way, in anything JSON, XML? Okay. That sounds like you might be able to integrate it if you have some developers that help you. For database, database scans is usually stuff for excessive writes. I started using it after I found in way too many database systems that exec was allowed for basically everyone. Some highly motivated students from the TU Delft had also reported that to us. That made a really nice responsible disclosure report, I have to say. That resulted in us starting to scan databases for basically excessive writes. Depending on what you have, basically for every bigger database, there is a vulnerability scanner. So we have MariaDB and Oracle in our company. We have avoided the Microsoft databases. Oracle is clearly the historical part, and new stuff is meanwhile MariaDB and PostgreSQL. For all of them, you will find tools for this that are specific, and in general, one of my most important learning, the more specific a tool is, the lower are the false positives. Right? So generic tools, shit ton of stuff that look for very specific things, usually have a low rate of false positives. Lower rate of false positive. Then there's container scanners that change scan your container infrastructure, specifically your containers. In most cases, that's Docker. There is basically two approaches over there. There's Claire and Trivy. Didn't I give the examples? No, I forgot a slide. There's basically Claire and Trivy. Claire is this approach of 100 most common mistakes in Docker. So this is basically why they started, just kind of scanning for commonly mistakes that people make in Docker. And Trivy is a more systematic approach. Claire is easier to set up to just play around with because it's a Docker container. So you have a Docker container that you throw a Docker container in there and it throws out the report. So the most simple, like, if you just want to play around with this, Claire is great to just get your first fingers in there. Trivy wants to live in a pipeline. This is likely also, but like we've had the best experience with Trivy actually in a pipeline, but it's correct. We, for example, also scan the container repository with Trivy. So in a cloud environment, usually you have a container repository where you're actively running things in, that you can check this box of my policy of once every XXX days, the production system have to be scanned. This is something that you can do in the container repository. Trivy, I use both of them. There's a lot of duplicates. That's one of the jobs of vulnerability management, to fish them out. And for this, for example, Defect Dojo works relatively great. So stuff I find over multiple scanners, it's a bit of work to set this up properly. But in general, that works okay. Stuff that I find over multiple scanners then become one vulnerability in the vulnerability scanner, which is nice because both report snippets are then in there. And if you have then developers that need to do something with this, that's always, they prefer that over please update package XYZ. Where, which server, to which version? Yeah. As we build all of our infrastructure into containers, this is at the moment, from my opinion, our best tool. It also finds libraries that you're using in there. If you use outdated libraries, specifically Trivy, it also finds the common mistake of there's a new base image, but the container developers didn't include that. So that is so common mistakes. If you just purely look on the application, there is other tools for that later, then you very often oversee the base image if you work with containers. So this is really like if you have a Docker cloud environment, Trivy and Claire, the combination of those with the vulnerability management is, in my opinion, maybe the most and the best tool in our company. Application scanners, there's general ones, there are specific ones. They scan basically a service for installed applications or the applications on there. Depending on how you do it, multiple tools come into mind that you could look for. Some are specific for, like Prowler is for cloud environments. OpenVAS is something that I heard quite a lot over there. I think in this, OpenVAS is better than Nessos. But your mileage may, like everybody has their own opinion on there. Nikto is a surprisingly cool tool to find software that somebody installed. We're a large company with lots of developers and teams and lots of legacy. And Nikto was a tool that helped us a lot to... Why was this tool very often? I had this feeling of like, oh, there is another WordPress. Oh, there is another my PHP admin or my whatever admin over my MySQL admin. So it's specifically stuff that you leave to agencies. Think your HR and your corporate communication and all of the departments that want to sell themselves or something. They have the tendency to just buy something somewhere at an agency, and Nikto is a cool tool to find that. So it's doing that for the first time and then getting the list was interesting. If you really have to have WordPress, That, by the way, goes for other web frameworks like that you also have in the same way. For Joomla, there's also, for example, something, and for several other things too. If you have WordPress, then WordPress scan or WordPress audits are something that you really would want to have, in my opinion. And for general web applications, you can start with just have in ZAP, that is the NetAttack proxy from OWASP. Just start scanning your website for this. If you do this just over a self-built web application, you will find quite a lot, and a lot of that will be false positives. But if you and your company build a website and something with that and lots of dynamic, this tool is a great start to, without money, start looking into that. That's also open source, or exists in an open source version. Yeah, now we're getting a bit deeper in the rabbit hole, and that is source code analysis. If you build software yourself, you have access to the repository. That gives you a new possibility to scan for things. They used to be called linters and had a bit more specialized job, I would say. But very often, if you heard this word, this is your static code analysis in general. So that goes on your repositories and the code that you do. There's a shit ton of specialists in there. This contains scanning for dependencies. That's very common. Like your GitHub has something. Yeah, there. There are several tools that try to find something themselves, or maybe even come with update commits. Renovate is a very helpful tool if you have lots of repositories with codes. But you also look for stuff like credentials and so on. So SonarCube, SNCC is the commercial ones. VeraCode is the one that is has an open source variant. I don't know how good that is, but it seemed to be somewhat okay. We have one of the more professional ones, though. Are they better? Questionable sometimes. But also something that falls out as soon as you have your code in GitHub or in GitLab or something like that is the GitHub vulnerability, where basically I do not see a reason why you shouldn't switch that on. Specifically dependencies, there's a very common mistake where you have this, but they're getting better. They also have meanwhile credential scanners and stuff like this integrated. So and then you have all the open source stuff that basically is, there's a bracket missing, that depending for your language, in general, there is, for every language that is a bit older, at least 5 scanners. I'd recommend to have a look on them if you want to implement something like this before you buy SonarCube. Maybe you get already 6 months of the first, at least low-hanging and easy-to-find things out there, and you develop to have a process before you integrate something like SonarCube. And what I would really recommend, so like have an idea of what, how all this static code analysis works before you go to one of the professional companies and says, hey, I want something for vulnerability scan management. Because if you don't, it will be expensive and not very helpful. So we used some of those. It helped a lot by getting a Sona installation that was a lot more helpful than compared to what they would have liked to sell to us. As said, every language that is reasonable has at least 5 of them, some specialize on certain specific areas. There are also really good, but their results also have to be read by developers, which possibly shocks nobody here. There's other stuff. Truffle Hawk is something that we set up, finding credentials in Git. It's a tool that I would like to recommend to Cisco, because they still once a year find hard-coded credentials in their code. That doesn't have to be. There's tools for this, right? So GitLeaks goes in the same, works best on GitHub. But yeah, it basically looks in your repositories for credentials, and you'd be surprised how many lazy developers they are. This is a scan that we are indeed running weekly, and like Meanwhile, I think it's every 6 to 8 weeks that I need to walk to somebody's desk. The nice part is, together with Git, it very quickly tells you who's to blame. There's the small specialist. I mentioned SSL test to test your TLS. All of those tools that I've mentioned can report into Defect Dojo, by the way. All of them, directly. There's SSL test that is really like build a script with Nessus that finds TLS connections in your company and your whole internal network and run SSL test against it. Like make one script out of that and run this once a day. Ideally, depending on how your VLAN firewalling looks, that's something that you need to run in multiple points in your company. This will make it very easy to get your TLS into a good state. You'll quickly know where what stuff is. Then you can give people this bettercrypto.org website and tell them to copy and paste those lines in their config. And usually everything is good after that. But yeah. Hydra is a tool from THC. It is to test passwords, basically brute force login tool. Great tool. Might annoy people in the network, and you might want to whitelist this in your whatever logging analyzer Steam thingy you have. But it's great to find people with shitty passwords this way. Yeah, and as you notice, I possibly haven't talked about something at the moment. That is this term that your manager possibly comes to you at some point and says, "We need to do dust scanning." So with everything that I told, dust is dynamic. I have a host. I scan this host. Your Nessus is in there. Your ZAP is in there where you have an installation that you scan against. SAST is works on a repository and let it be configs or code. So a lot of people also say black box, white box, depending how deep they are in this management speech. I'd like to point out that this really mostly covers application and the application servers, and there is a lot more. And possibly if your boss talks this way, you might want to give him a small presentation that this is way more complicated. But it comes from like Bean Counter, a consultancy company that at some point said, we need something that is good to sell. So they came up with those categorization. I don't think it's very useful. Automatization. Automate your scans. Einmal ist keinmal. What happened once never happened. There's so many phrases for this. Automate your stuff. Play around with it to test if it's working and how it's working. Directly after that, automate that. There is way more long-term knowledge in this because you don't only want to see the current state, but also how in which direction we are going. There, this is very important. And automating your stuff directly goes into the next part of reporting it directly into the vulnerability management. So scan frequently for code and binary repositories. That is your whole code part. I recommend doing both, the first and the last. So very often if you're in software development, you scan on build, but that is then a scan with the knowledge of the build. Nobody knows the CVE that came out 3 days later. And very often, when I have talked over people with this, it also is the point that certain microservice Docker containers are only built every 6 months or so. So scan frequently. So in code and the binary repository, think your container registry here. Scan frequently on hosts and infrastructure. Your Nessus, OpenVAS, whatever scan, I'm very sure runs in something like weekly or more often. That is something that I would recommend. Then you also see, A, you have a current overview, and B, you see how things change. We scan critical parts daily. So when something pops up, so you're Log4j. Log4j was one of the motivations to go into a lot of parts for automating this. Something like Log4j, the NPM fuck up that we had very recently, I got results for this. Basically, we did rerun the scans and then had results for this. That is very nice. Like the whole problem of when my company do I have this problem? Oh, here, that's a list. So that is very helpful if you actually have to deal on this. And if you do software development, surely merge a scan somewhere in your development process. If it's on commits, when the scans run quick, you can do this because it's very helpful to, for the developer to directly get feedback. Your build will fail, and that's why. Otherwise, on merge to master is something that you see very often, or something like a build, really the build. Vulnerability management. I only have some few minutes. Let's quickly go over this. A vulnerability management tool imports all the scans that you have into a central interface from where you then kind of move on. So that the problem is if you have like 8 vulnerability scanners in your team, in your software development teams, then if you have 8 places where the software developers could look for problems, but this is usually way too complicated for somebody like a PO or management. So usually they don't look in there. I think it's important that management can look into those stuff because that creates motivation and resources. So the hard part in identifying vulnerabilities is this a false positive? Depending how generic your scanner is, that will be quite a lot of your work, specifically in the beginning. The good part is with all tools that exist that do this, if you have once marked something as a false positive, it is then whitelisted basically from this moment on. False positives really are the main pain in automated security testing. So that is, I see some people nodding, so I feel confirmed. For us, that was the by far biggest issues. And surprising point in the beginning is some things are found with multiple tools, so you also need to deal with that. Some tools like Defect Dojo have things for this. And that can then put multiple, put the same vulnerability found by multiple points, by multiple scanners into one finding. So what is there? Overspace you covered. There is a vulnerability management from them that is called Defect Dojo. Basically everything that has JSON, CSV, or XML, you can import in there. API, it can deal with API connections, but you have to set that up. That is noticeably more work, but if a tool has an API, very often better. For a lot of commercial tools, this connectors already exist. So if you have Qualys as a service or Microsoft Defender Security, wie auch immer es gerade heißt, you can query all of this and just pull them directly out of the Microsoft Defender API or out of your SonarQube. We pull directly out of the API. Qualys, if you use the external services, you get this directly this way. That works well. It has a massive API also for going out of there. It can therefore export very nicely in lots of different communication tools and ticket systems, but also in your data lake. So in case of your company is data heavy and you have a data lake, you can then do a lot of fancy things with that, specifically if you have a data engineer. Short part, all the scanners, all into Defect Dojo, and that goes out to all of those different things. It works with ISC, Matrix, but also Teams and Slack, and I think even Discord. It can export nice metrics. If your company has something like Power BI, it also exports into there. But also Grafana is a good one there. And for ticket system, the best integration is with Jira. They're building on a better integration at the moment from ServiceNow that very soon will be released. The Azure AD, the Azure development environment is so meh. Other ticket systems, getting something in there once is usually not a problem because at least nearly every one of those tools support basically creation of tickets per email. But what you actually want is that you have a two-way connection, that in your ticket management system you can actually see which Dara ticket this now is, what is happening over there, and which status it has. In our company, that's also what I would recommend, is that the POs and the devs, basically that's where they work, where they mark everything as false positive. In theory, the PO is responsible for creating tickets, but in a lot of technical tickets, that is usually, I would call that, delegated to a software developer. This works really well. So specifically, you can hoard together multiple findings and make one ticket out of this. That is specifically useful for the cases of the use case that I would simplify with install updates or update the base image or use the base images, because in those cases you very often see when you do a proper update round in the company, because you now see all of that shit and you basically only have to tell them that install updates. If you do this for the first time, like in the first 2 weeks, you have like 10% of your tickets left, of your issues left. You can see that in there. It generates metrics for management. And I am not kidding you, this is the most powerful part of this. At least if you work in a company where people properly get paid and where POs have to say they're responsible for the security, they all say that. But as long as you don't have metrics, they don't care for this. If you include something like that in your security metrics, they will care for this. Promise. So there's a talk about this vulnerability management with Defect Dojo on the 3083 community stage. You find it on Media CCCD and on YouTube. Thanks, are you all, for coming. Are there any questions in the last 3 minutes? Oh yeah, please make your work open source. When you work on anything like this, everybody's happy that somebody else has already built something like this, this whole idea of standing on the shoulder of giants and so on. Or if somebody else wrote something, help improve it.
Hey, thank you for the great talk. I would like to ask, what do you think about like open source meta scanners? I don't know if you know Sniper or something like that. It basically runs all the open source scanner tools, and if like Nikto finds a WordPress, it runs WPScan and stuff like that. What do you think about those meta tools?
I would like to see their false positive rate. It sounds really good, but when I hear this, this falls for me a bit in the categorization of generic things, because your fight will be, when you do this in a real production environment, to fine-tune your scanners. And that basically then you get in a situation that tools like those you usually don't really use anymore. But I could see that they're great for finding all the shit that you haven't found so far.
There's one thing that always pops up, it's dependencies which are not being updated. For example, when there is a fork, normally the tools don't mention that and say it's the latest version, so it's okay, even if that latest version is 10 years old. So you might want to look for stale dependencies.
Yeah, that you usually do find as soon as those software has CVEs. There is a hype popping up, some developers tasked to look into that, and then it says, well, that is kind of now not existing, not maintained anymore. We need to find an alternative. That is then very often a complicated ticket, and I think it would be better to indeed be able to scan for this already as soon when they're already falling stale. But specifically with open source tools, it's sometimes hard to see or judge when something has fallen stale. There's completely active tools that have not seen a single commit in 2 years. But there is a developer that reacts on things over this. So this is sometimes, I can see that this is sometimes difficult to judge, but I agree that would be a nice feature for a scanner to have. We only see this as soon as it has a CVE.
Also, another mention, I think the EU Commission has recommended to have post-quantum crypto in place by 2035, for critical applications. So I have seen companies developing scanners for detecting the usage of crypto algorithms, yeah. scanning for OpenSSL, Botan, and other libraries to have that also detectable within the stack.
Yes, for your TLS connection, TestSSL can do this. So it can report if it's post-quantum encryption, but for most companies, when you say by 2035, that will not make it very high in our backlog. Are there any other questions? Okay, then I think we're closing 4 minutes early. Thank you all again. Have a nice day. If you have built any cool things for security testing or want to push me in the directions for the security testing, please let me know. I always like to talk about this topic, obviously. So if you have nice things there, please let me know.